mentioned that Shraggy Duberger is himself available to so many of us at I say any time of the day or night. That is not an exaggeration. And it's okay if I say this, but there are times of the year, especially before you're on the ride, when Shraggy is out and about in the United States and stops off and will give schmoozin. He's available, I don't know if it's to every single city.
Not that much.
Okay. But anyway, so we very much appreciate it.
Everybody needs all the schmoozin you can get, right? About 50 years ago, I was, as a 20-year-old bacher, took the Rosh Yisrael Bacher David Islevi to conventions, which was something that I enjoyed very much. Terem Beserim more than Aguda, if I'm allowed to say that. But I did, in the two conventions that I was, the types I was taken to. And I remember at one Terem Beserim convention, the Rosh Yisrael spoke, and so for 20 minutes he said a shiur on Yeshna Shechita Matzil about Saif, and then he gave 20 minutes of Chizuk afterwards. So when we got back to the hotel room, I turned to the Rosh Yeshiva and said, they didn't come to hear a shiur. So why did the Rosh Yeshiva give a shiur? So he said, they came for Chizuk. Torah is a Chizuk. So I got to give them Chizuk, and whether they realize it or not, that's Chizuk. So therefore I gave the shiur. So he was not... he was unabashed about that Azeh Daf Mentan. So when I asked what topic I was supposed to speak about, so they told me, somebody looked up on the list and said, Chizuk. I said, okay, then sir, I'm starting with Avart. I've been working on a project over the last couple of years, which I feel will one day be a safer, Mirtz Hashem, about just...
When's the next chasim?
Huh?
When's the next chasim?
I have a daughter entering Shidduchim soon. But I'm not ready for that yet, but for either. But I was able to a very simple thing, which is that Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes that if the Mishnah says there's 10 deres from Adam to from Noach to Avram, and then the Mishnah says Asar Nisyanis Nisnas Avram Avinu, so the Taisis Yontif and Chaim Volozhiner say, so if it says Avinu by one and not Avinu by the other, there's got to be a reason. So I was aiming that every Avinu in the Rambam has a reason when it says Avinu and it doesn't say, and every single title has a reason. So I recently published about 18 pages just on Avinus by the Ovis. I'm right now holding about 30 pages into Shemus of Hashem. That every single Shem Hashem in the Rambam has a reason. That means if he writes Hakel or HaKadosh Baruch Hu or HaYaitzer or HaBayre, each one, there's a reason why he wrote it, which is a phenomenal thing. I don't have an answer to a lot of them, but there's one that I found that I've showed to Gedolei Torah that are in the spoil from this, and it proves my contention that this is true. So I wanted to share this with you. But you know, there's even, and as it goes so far, is that when he writes Hanichbad v'Hanoira or Hagibor v'Hanoira in different places, each one has a reason why he has those lashonos, even small differences like that. And even though I'm not that computer savvy, but I do have the Rambam on my telephone, so all the bakiyas in these Rambams to make sure that that's what he does, you know, I check out on my telephone, and it's very, very helpful. So in Hilchas Tshuva, the Rambam writes, at the end of Perek Yud, and no one goes on this. I checked in the Franco Rambam, I checked in all the Sfarim, Chaim Kanievsky's Talmidim wrote a sefer. Nobody goes on it. But I believe that this is, that there's countless things like this. The Rambam writes like this. Ella, Hebnei Avas Adon Kol Haaretz. Why did he choose those words? Avas Adon Kol Haaretz. There had to be a reason. So, not that I'm such a big bucky in Tanakh either, but I checked up on my telephone, and I found that the word Avas Adon Kol Haaretz is mentioned twice in Gan's Tanakh. Both in Yeshua, in Kapitel Gimel, it says, Hinei Aron Abris, Adon Kol Haaretz Ayrev Nechem Beyardin. The Aron is referred to in the Pasuk as Adon Kol Haaretz. Habris Adon Kol Haaretz, Rashi says, Bris HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shu Adon Kol Haaretz. Okay, three psukim later, Hoya Kapas Nekeneh Kapas Ragle HaKayanim, Nesi Aron Hashem, Adon Kol Haaretz. So Adon Kol Haaretz is used twice in Navi, B'nei Geya the Aron, which holds the Torah, and therefore it's clear that when the Rambam says, if you learn Torah Lishma, it's to learn it for the Avas Adon Kol Haaretz, because Adon Kol Haaretz is Mekusher with Torah. Now you have to say Pshat in the Pasuk. I'm not going to tell you the whole Arichas of what I think the Pshat in the Pasuk is, and different Mekairis for it, but clearly the Rambam with Ugalarant from this Pasuk shot in that Adon Kol Haaretz is a kinui for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam B'negeya Torah, which shows that, you know, for instance, in Hilchas Brachas, if the Rambam says that there's three types of brachas, Lisker is Haborei Tamid, why is it Borei not Yaitzer? Because, you know, how many brachas have Borei in it? Right, so you see the Chazal said that the Shem Borei comes out through brachas. So when the Rambam says, this is a Borei Tamid, because Borei Atzib Samin, Borei Priyoetz, Borei Mbren Samin, Borei Priyadama, etc., etc., etc. Borei is Mekusher with bracha. And therefore the Rambam uses that lashon over there. And this made me even get into, which I until then was a total amaret, is to check in the Meira how the Rambam uses different words, which sometimes the Frank Rambam does tell you, not over here, but there's an, so then of course I checked to see, is there any other Adon Kol Haaretz in the whole Rambam? And there's one, besides this one. When the Rambam starts off in Hilchas Yesedi HaTorah talking about the Hamotzi Hazeh Rabbeinu Shel Olam, to prove that there's Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hamotzi Hazeh Elokei HaOlam Adon Kol Haaretz, the only other Adon Kol Haaretz in Gan's Rambam. It's also the only Elokei HaOlam in Gan's Rambam. Every other Elokei in Rambam is Elokei Yisrael, because Tshuva, we have a Miyuchadikim relationship with Rabbeinu Shel Olam, even though Goyim have Tshuva too, but not the same. Not to take ribbis is only by Yidden, so it's made in Elokei Yisrael. Every case that he mentions Elokei is Yisrael, except over here, where it's talking about the Eberster as the head of the world, so he's not going to say Elokei Yisrael, he says Elokei Ha'olam, Meduyik. Isn't it Meshunadik? Just the, I mean, this is the Rambam's term. I was just aiming on something, so it's just so phenomenal. So over here in the back, so they bring over here to look in the Meira, in the Franco Rambam, about what Adoin means. And Adoin means Shlita. That's how the Rambam teaches it in the Meira Nevuchim. Shlita. So the Truvas Radvaz they bring in the back of the Franco Rambam, where the Radvaz was asked the question, like, if he's Elokei HaOlam, then what does he have to add then Kol Haaretz for? What's the extra part? So the Rav says, maybe he created the world and he left letter Hefker. But who says he's controlling it? State, Elokei HaOlam, Adon Kol Haaretz, he controls the entire world, right? So in controlling the world and in Torah, which in the Yistaka Baraisa Bara Alma, are the only two places where it would pass for the Rambam to use the lashon of Adon Kol Haaretz. So I can go into it more by Riches, but that's not necessary. Just to see the point of it, it's like when you learn Rambams. I'm right now holding in the middle of a Rambam, Vechabur Matzi Shabbos and Hilchos Melachim, and the Rambam talks about in the end of Melachim, he talks about that when you go to war, you should depend on. He quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyah. you know, to talk about Rabbeinu Shlomo. And it's the only place he uses that pasuk. Now you have to figure out why he uses that lashon over there as opposed to someplace else. These are hundreds of places of where, if you just keep your eyes open, you'll see the mishunah dikah dikonis that the Rambam had, that it's mind-boggling. You know, just to give you a dogma, you know that most of the time Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe Rabbeinu the Rambam. Four times he's called Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbam Shoko Yisrael. And sometimes he's called Moshe without Rabbeinu. And there's a reason. In Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rabbeinu Shalom taught Moshe how the moon works. He ain't Rabbeinu to the Rabbeinu Shalom. So therefore he's just called Moshe without Rabbeinu. But when he talks about the Messiah that he gave Moshe Rabbeinu to give us in the Hagdamah, he's called Rabbeinu. Each place, a title or not a title, always has a reason. Now, there's countless cases where I don't have a clue yet. I found one sefer that goes on that Shmuel has three different names in the Rambam. Shmuel, Shmuel HaRamasi, and Shmuel Hanavi. And somebody has a whole shtickle to try to figure out why he does that. But I believe it's with every name. There's one Yitzchak Avinu in Gans Rambam. In Hilchas Beis HaBechira. Makam HaMizbeach, Mekayim HaMuchub Miyasim, Shom Nekad Yitzchak Avinu. He was an Av for that aspect of doing the Akedah. So there he says it. Other places where it's not an obvious thing, he doesn't. I can go on, but I wanted to say some other things too. But just to share with you it's an exciting thing to me, this whole Inyan. And as the oil holding and learning, when you see Rambams, and just imagine that there's a difference when he'll say Rabbein Olam or Rabbein Olamim. Can you imagine that? That even that's Meduyik in the Rambam. It has reasons for each one. If he'll say Rabbein Olam, and in other places it says Rabbein Olamim, there's a reason for all those things. To me, that's just mind-boggling to think about how marveled the Rambam was and how much Torah you can see just from this concept, right? Which, you know, and anybody comes across different Shemus, etc., and has Berim in it, I would appreciate it greatly. I was thinking to tell over a couple of things that I think are pertinent in each person's matzav based on things of Maser that I have from the Rashivas from Bracha. I want to tell you an interesting thing also that happened probably 50 years ago, maybe even more. I'm married already 45 years, so and it must have been, I was mamish probably still a teenager. And one day the Rashiva called me in and told me that I talked to your father, and I made up that you and him are going to learn every morning before davening. So he told me, he was telling my father, and he was telling my Shesher, another Talmud said that even when you're in a position of working for the klal, and you have a gadol to go to and somebody to shilas to, you have to make many decisions off and art and do things. There's no such thing as being involved in the klal and not having time to learn. Because every person that learns gets more das. So then when they deal with situations where they can't ask, it's not a big thing, or they have to make hashara, right? The more they learn themselves, the difference it makes. So I remember at that time, Rashiva said, you know, so my father said, okay, we're going to learn Mishnayis Peya. I don't remember how long it went on for, but these were the types of things that he would push. Even people that he had great confidence in and held of said, I'm a Lernish, it affects your decisions, you know. If you have people that are fundraising for you and they're busy, so they can be busy all they want, but medaf machen zeit lernen, whatever it is. That's one thing he used to push a lot. Another thing that he pushed, and this he pushed even for Rabbeim, and this is Nageya to, I think, everybody as well, is like as follows, that he tainted. He used to tell Rabbeim that, Avadi, if you're busy saying a shir, you have to put time preparing the shir, and, you know, giving over the Torah you're going to give. But in order to be successful, you've got to make some time to learn something that you have a yishmak in. As if the yeshiva is learning a certain mesechta, you don't enjoy that mesechta as much as other mesechtas. You know, some people enjoy every daf. Some people don't, right? Rav David Cohen told me, I haven't found a not Gishmak Adaf and Shas yet. I have found plenty. I'm not holding such a metric here, but some people who enjoy every daf, okay, so they enjoy everything. But if you don't, so he used to say that if you make time for yourself to learn something, even if it's a small thing, but you have a Gishmak in this sugya, you have a Gishmak in this Masech, you have a Gishmak in this, in working out a certain inyan, to write something, whatever it is, but if you spend time doing that and make time for it, and then the Tziv used to say, a masmid makes time for everything, he'd say, but there's no time, but not machen Zeit, right? It will help in things that you're teaching and learning, that the Olam is holding in, it could be a daf yom, it can be a sugyas that you're learning in the kollel that you may not have as big yishmak in, or maybe, you already went through good. But if you pick the Torah delay part of something that you have an interest in, and you make that a small project of your own, no matter how little time it is, but if it's bekvius, that will give you an extra geschmack in the day. It will make a difference. It will make a difference in your productivity. And he used to push this for Rabbeim very stark. And in being a Rebbe over 30 years, I can be made that it makes a very, very big difference. It makes a big difference. Just find something that you have a geschmack in, whatever it is, it makes no difference, right? It goes into the Chochma Be'umas Tamen of what Mark Twain once said, which is, don't let schooling interfere with your education. And there's an emes to that, right? In other words, you have to do certain things because that's the job. You need to learn that you have a geschmack in. Whatever is your chelek ha'Torah, you have a geschmack in. That's what you got to learn. That's another idea from the Reshiva that I think is important to communicate. And then I want to talk about another idea, which I think has several gavanim, but is a davar hashav l'chol nefesh. The Reshiva said to me once like this. He said that I don't know that every decision I made for my talmidim in America, for things in the yeshiva, I don't know for sure that if my Rebbe, the Altum Sabbatku, would be here, that he would have done what I did. It's not sure. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I'm sure of one thing, that when I had to make the decision, if I didn't convince myself that were my Rebbe in this position, that he would have made this decision, then I would have been unable to make the decision. In other words, that his measuring stick was, even when he didn't have him there, and he was nifter, and in the late 20s, where Shiva first started the yeshiva in 33. The altars, yeah. And he said, and Reshiva went through, Rav Aaron was already gone, so Rav Schneir asked Reshiva for the 50th yard site in 88, not 88, in 78. 88, Reshiva was already gone. In 78, Rav Schneir asked him to come to Yeshiva to speak about the altar of his 50th yard site. So he said he had such a reishim on him that the pshat is that he made the decisions based on it's America, it's a whole different world, everything else, right? But given all those differences, trying to figure out, vas erbot kitan, which I thought was an interesting thing too. So if people have rabbeim still, they can ask matay manoyim. But people that were mashbiya on, that are your bali mesera, right? That's a good measuring stick to use when you have to make a decision. I was once talking to Reb Zelig Epstein's Rambracha, and he told me that before he went to the Mir, he learned in Slonim by Reb Shapsi Yogel. He liked him a velt. So he told me when Reb Shapsi Yogel came to Eretz Yisrael, he says he was a man in his 70s at the time that he came to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, a person always needs a Rebbe. So he decided that he's going to make the Brisker Rav, who was younger than him, his Rebbe, and go ask Shilas, and to feel that even though he's 70 years old and he was already a Reshiva for 40-some years, but he still felt that You know, you have to make somebody that, you know, you're comfortable with the Eskashayla too. So he said, so Shamsi was not uncomfortable to go to the Bishrov and say, Kum Tzayich and Echvach Fregn Shailas. Even though he was younger, it didn't make a difference to him. He thought he was a person who could do that. Rav Gifter told me that, you know, when he was in Eretz Yisroel, he decided that, and he was a starker mensch, and he had his own shittas, etc., etc. When he had a big shaila, he went to ask Rav Shach. In other words, so big people aren't afraid of asking. And even when one is in a position of authority and you have to decide for other people things, or for your maisid, or for a shtut, or for things, and this chalukim of the decision that you have to make that your Rebbe can't necessarily make because they're not there in the place. At the same time, having people to bounce off of when it's a big thing, to make sure that you are, you know, trying to get karav le'emes of what should be, is a davar chashav ma'od to do. And that, you know, there's never an age where one shouldn't look for somebody else to bounce things off of, because seif kol seif, we have negiyas. Lately, I've been learning with a Talmud, I'm learning Ar Yisroel, which is a very, very difficult and deep sefer to fully grasp the Eimek of Rav Yisroel. And I just noticed this Sunday when we were learning that about 5 or 6 times straight, after Rav Yisroel says a Yisoid, he writes, Ulai, that's the pshat in this Gemara. Ulai, 5 different times in the same shtickel, that Rav Yisroel shtelta vecha Yisoid, Ili otzim, gaina gainim, everything else, but when he wants to say pshat in the Chazal, he's not so convinced that his pshat has to be the pshat. So he writes, and Ulai, this is what the Chazal means. And he keeps on using this lashon. And what the reason why I noticed it was because in the shtickle itself, he talks about the kayach of negiyas and how much satir shmaya you need when you make decisions for the klal to know what the right thing to do is, how to give hadracha for people. So a person has to have confidence. Right, you know, it says Ein adayin chayv al masha ein avrayis. So you're only chayv what you see. Rabbi Shaul used to say that even though Ein adayin chayv al masha ein avrayis, but you got to be a dayin. Right? Doesn't he say, oh, that's how I see it? Yeah, but are you ready to make that decision? Could you be too negeya? Right. When the yeshiva was in garrison, and the yeshiva was there from 41 or 42 till 69. And they had 11 acres, and the buildings was a mortgage still, and they got an offer from the city to buy the property for $390,000, and they still had a mortgage of $250,000 on the building. So there was a Baptist college that thought it would be a perfect place. They wanted to teach Schwarzes how to proselytize Schwarzes in Africa. So they came and offered $800,000, $410,000 more, which in 1968 was money. I mean, today also I think is money, but then it's probably a couple $1 million. You know, it was a lot of money. So the Roshiva sent my father to Eretz Yisroel to ask Rav Chatzko Abramsky. Because he said if he asked Rav Moshe, Roshiva held that even if it's Mutzal al Pidin, because they weren't going to use the Beis Medrash for their place, he held it would be a Chil Hashem, and he held it shouldn't be done. But he was afraid to ask Rav Moshe, because maybe Rav Moshe would be Mater, and he would only be Seimach to do such. So Bamison, he said... I really want to say, no, let's forget about the extra $410,000 and just do it. But it's mum and hektish. So how about if it's my negias, because I think that way, right? So to ask Rav Moshe, maybe it'll be mater, then I'm not ready to do. But he had a shtark yedidus with Chatzko Abramsky, And the Chassid Abramsky and him, they had great appreciation for each other. I know that it was when he used to, Don Garsha came to America once, and he was by Reb Chassid, and he said, call Reb Rudin and ask him to daven for me. They had a good shaychus. So my father went special to Eretz Yisrael and explained the whole thing to Reb Chassid Abramsky, and he said, give me think about it. He wrote a three-page tshuva saying that they should not do it. And they didn't, right? And the reshiva was pushing 70 at the time, right? But didn't feel that he should pass him the shaila, so he gave it over to somebody else, right? And because he wanted to make sure that that he didn't have any gias, you know, even though for yeshiva that was a lot of money, so he said, at least if Abramsky will say yeah, and then it'll be okay with me. But for Ramesha, even though he held a belt to Ramesha, but he knew that Ramesha was very soft and it bothered him. So he said, if Abramsky says yeah, then he's Mekabel. But they never asked for Ramesha, they asked for Abramsky, and he said not to do it. And they didn't. So, you know, it was $400,000 less, which in those years was a lot of money. You know, but in other words, he didn't look at himself that the fact that he's 68 years old, that he has to be able to pass in the shaila himself. If he's negeya, then he'll ask somebody else. You know, which I think is a limit for all of us. We have things that we can have negeyas too in situations, in hirings and firings and different handle rides that go on, right? Where the negeyas are such, and I don't have anything, I have no agenda saying this, just not thinking of anybody's particular situation or anything. I'm talking about a general thing, to know that that's a big oifen of being able to come on to other people and to know when you have to come on to people and not to, you know, feel a schwachkeit that if I'm the head of something or I'm running something, that dafregen is that grace and mention don't have a problem with it. It's a simon of a person's bigness when we can reach out to others, not a simon of weakness. That doesn't mean that a person doesn't have a right in certain situations and can feel there's certain things which you can only decide because you understand the unique nature of your own community, etc., and somebody else may not be able to fully grasp it. Of course, there's situations like that as well. But there are many situations where it's our own negius and having people that we trust that we can give over the matzav too well is an important thing, and that doesn't take away from a person's bigness. I think it shows a greatness of a person that one's able to look at that and see what to do. At the same time, I would like to say that that's when it's a halachic shaila, when it's an eitzah shaila, then by eitzah, Chaim Volozhiner writes, shal eitzah v'seki sechlecha. I remember I was on a bus maybe close to 40 years ago going up to the mountains, and I was, when I saw this Reb Chaim Volozhiner, it was something which I always instinctively felt but never could verbalize the way I saw it there. And I wanted to share it with the bus driver. I was so excited by it because it, to me, spoke at the Sheirish, I think, of the difference between us and Chassidim in many ways too. He writes on the Mishnah of Mar Be'etzah Mar Be'tfuna Margila B'pum Yedinchi Shal Eitzah V'Aseki Sechlecha. So he said, what's the purpose of asking an Eitzah if you can do like your Sechum and Yah? He says, because each Yoyetz has an experience that you don't have, but you only know the Pnimus of yourself, right? So therefore by asking people that have more experience, you can gain from them, but then you take an eita achas, that's his lashon, which is tefes mikulon, right? And that'll be the hanhaga. So when it's not a shailon halacha, it's a shailon eita, right? Somebody called me yesterday with a shaila, and they said, well, I already asked one rav, am I allowed to ask you? And then it was a question about a girl. Should she give up her job here and go to Lakewood for shidduch? Magan says, ach, where it wasn't a shailon halacha, I said, you should be asking a bunch of people and get from different people perspective, and then figure out what's best for you, right? So if, you know, in today's world, everybody's busy, you know, I think part of the attraction, and I'm speaking as an honest misnagin, I think part of the attraction of Chassidus is that somebody else thinks for you, and it works for their system. But I think in our world, the pshat is that you have to ask an etzah, and then do we just say who says? So asking etzahs from a bunch of people and then coming up with what the right thing to do is a harder way to be, but it has a better texture. It's richer in terms of coming to something special and taking the personal achrayus. So on one hand, knowing when to ask, if it's a shiloh or if it's an etzah, and dafka getting different approaches, and then trying to figure out what to do is what I think is, a siyua for everyone, and the olam should be matzliach ad ma'oid and the avodas hakodesh. A pleasure to be here.